held my Bible together for years with duct tape, as you can see on the Zender cam, and I've had this Bible since 1986. I wrote to the Concordant Publishing Concern back then, and I got my very own Concordant Literal New Testament. And if you are new to this show, or if you are new to the truth, I recommend the Concordant Literal New Testament because it is a sound translation. It is translated with a system, and I've used this thing to death, as you can see. And it's so funny because it fell apart, and a dear brother in Columbus, Ohio, volunteered to rebind my Bible. I said, I want the original cover. Don't take that. Keep the duct tape on because that stuff is near and dear to me. And some of my pages were out. You see, 2 Peter was kind of messed up. So I have 1 Timothy on a facing page with 1 Peter. Or is that 2 Peter? Yeah, 2 Peter 1 is right across from 1 Timothy 1. And of course, it's the same thing on the other page there, as you can see on the Zender cam. This is how I do it. So I have to make an adjustment in my mind. Fortunately, my mind is nimble enough to do that. Good morning, everyone. Again, this is Martin Zender. Welcome to Thursday. And I'm going to look at the false prophets in Israel who claim the name of the Lord, but who prophesy falsely. They just make this crap up as they go. All you have to do is say, thus saith the Lord. And the same thing's happening today. And we are also going to be confronted with false prophets and false prophecies and false miracles. Ooh, I should go there. 2 Thessalonians, where's that? I think it's in some James somewhere in my Bible. In my Bible, you find 2 Thessalonians right around James chapter 1. All right. I found where I want to go, but I'm going to put you on hold on that for a second. I'm going to keep a bunch of plates up in the air here this morning. I loved the thought of the pattern of Nebuchadnezzar and applying it to today. I'm seeing more things opening up here that are going to comfort us. And again, it's always comforting to know that God, who seems to be random, seems to be doing things helter-skelter, actually has a pattern. First, you have to build up something or someone. You have to build it up. Nebuchadnezzar, in order for this lesson to be taught to us from the scriptures, you know, all scripture is inspired by God. It's instructive for teaching, that the man or woman of God may be equipped, fitted out for every good act. So, not all the scripture is to us. It's not all addressed to us. For instance, James to the 12 tribes. But it's all for us, and we learn from it. And so we look at Nebuchadnezzar, and we see a pattern of what God is going to do with the end time potentate. How would you like to be a potentate? How would you like to be a potentate eating potatoes? That's what's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to be very fond of potatoes. This is my teaching. It's Martin Zender's doctrine. Be careful who you tell that to. But Nebuchadnezzar was built up, and he was given a world kingdom, and he was prospered. And again, you can't look at prosperity and think that it means that God's approving of it. It means that he's building something up, and if it's prosperous in the flesh, if it's prosperous according to all the world's standards, then I can guarantee you this. Yes, I will use the word guarantee. I will guarantee that God is going to use it as an example, and he is going to build it up only to tear it down. There's a song about that, about building me up. You build me up just to let me down. Oh my God, that's the Osmond Brothers, sorry. Yo-Yo, that's a song from the 70s. You build me up just to tear me down. Then my heart goes around and around. Ooh, that's the Osmond Brothers. Sorry, not that I ever listened to them. I never listened to the Osmond Brothers. Don't know how that song got in my head. So anyway, it's built up so that God can make an example. And then comes the humiliation, the humbling. Was talking to a brother yesterday, and he talked about someone very near and dear to him who mocks the things he believes, mocks the truth, mocks these things we're talking about. And again, for that person, the breaking is still ahead. The breaking is still future. And the pride does come before a fall. That's the pattern right there. And so, but again, well, I'm trying to point out to you that there's a sequel to that. There's something that happens afterwards and restoration. It's a restoration, and it's only can only be built on the heels of the decimation. And our world government is going to be built up, and it's going to be a very hugely stellar, able, capable, wonderful thing that provides everything for everybody, and it's going to be a false miracle. And this is what many people are not going to understand. Christians are going to fall for it wholesale. And I was going to take you to 2 Thessalonians, and I think I'm still going to do that. 2 Thessalonians, please. Verse 7, for the secret of lawlessness is already operating. Sheridan and I talked about the secret of lawlessness. The secret of lawlessness, to refresh your memory, is this. It's stunning. You can hardly believe it, but this is the most necessary secret to be aware of, is that lawlessness is now operating under the radar behind a cloak of righteousness. That's the secret of lawlessness. Know it well, because that is the hallmark of this era. It's the hallmark of Satan's operation today. A messenger of light, and his ministers are posing as dispensers of righteousness. That's the secret of lawlessness. Lawlessness decided, I'm personifying it, figure of speech called personification. Lawlessness decided that it wasn't good enough anymore to directly attack, to directly oppose Christ. Lawlessness decided to come up instead of Christ. Lawlessness decided to go to the Halloween store, the costume store, and buy a Jesus suit and buy a God suit and to disguise itself, to take the name of Christ. That's what lawlessness decided to do. And that was a coup. That was an amazing giant leap forward in the operation of deception, then to systematize it, to put on the Jesus suit and to pack it into a system. And it has deceived millions of people. That's the secret of lawlessness. And Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the secret of lawlessness is already operating. It was operating in his day. Only when the present detainer may be coming to be out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one. So the present detainer really is the body of Christ. You can find this truth corroborated in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering. We're going to enter the fullness of the body of Christ, and then the lawless one is going to be unveiled. But right now, that spirit of lawlessness is operating in him. We don't know who he is yet. He has not been unveiled. Just like we have not yet been unveiled as sons and daughters of righteousness, he has not yet been unveiled as a son of destruction, son of lawlessness. Judas went among the people, among his disciples, his fellow disciples, was with the party until he was unveiled as the son of destruction. Nobody knew it was him. It was a shock when they found out it's Judas. Oh my God, unbelievable. Likewise, the church today, the organized religion, is being built up in the manner of Nebuchadnezzar, and it's the secret of lawlessness. But the church is worse than Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was restored subsequent to a revelation. The organized religion today will not be restored. It will be utterly destroyed. And it's not coming back. It's going to be replaced by the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so we're the present detainer. When we are snatched away to be with Christ, then all hell is going to break loose because we're the only thing preventing it. Then will be unveiled the lawless one. The book of Revelation is not called the book of Revelation. When I start that series, we're going to get to that right off the bat. It's called the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It's not called Revelation. It's called the unveiling. Everything's going to finally be seen for what it is. But in the meantime, you have to be spiritually astute. Because one of the most startling verses to me in the scripture is that Jesus talked about the deception. And he said even the elect would be deceived. That's how slick it's going to be. I keep teaching this because it continues to be important. Because we, even us, we're the elect. And Jesus said even the elect could be deceived. Therefore, we can be deceived. It can be so slick that we can be deceived. And many, even among us, are being shaken. This is what God is doing now. Another sidetrack, sorry. God is shaking. He's shaking the body of Christ. He's bringing trials. He's bringing temptations. And only those who are in it for real, who are soldiers, are going to stand. It doesn't mean that other people aren't members of the body of Christ. It just means that there is a ruling and a reigning rank among the body of Christ. And these individuals will be tried, and their endurance will be pushed to the limit. And in order to do that, there is going to be shaking going on. And I have had many people tell me, Martin, I would just be happy to be sweeping the floors of the celestial kingdom. That's fine if that's what you want. That's what you're going to get. But to those who are striving, not in the flesh, but in accord with the operation of God, competing together with the faith, I should say that way, competing, that's scriptural language. Paul to Timothy, competing together. Me and you, competing together we are. Clyde, me, Dan, we're competing together in the faith. To those of you who are, you're going to be shaken and you're going to be tried and you're going to be tempted to walk away from this. Don't do it. The reason the shaking is coming is so that those who are just looking through a hole in the fence, those who are just looking in the window, those who are just interested but not sold out, they're going to fall. They're going to go away. Demas is going to go away. And a lot of people went away in Paul's life, and a lot of people are going to go away in our life. But when you're in the battle, and when you're getting down to crunch time, when you're racing for the tape, you need to know who's with you and who's not. Paul was tough because what? He didn't take John Mark with him on the second missionary trip because he bailed out on the first missionary trip. Couldn't take the heat in Cyprus when they confronted the false prophet Bar-Jesus. Couldn't handle it. Paul said, that guy's not worthy to come along with us. Was John Mark in the body of Christ? Yeah. Was he a soldier? No. Later on, there was a rebonding with Paul and John Mark. But God's going to find out. Not that God needs to find out, but let's say God's going to shake the body of Christ so that we can find out who's with us and who's against us. Tomorrow, more about the operation of deception. Ending the week already. Wow, unbelievable. And more about the false prophecies. These two are going to go hand in hand. Back to Jeremiah chapter 29. There are false prophets among us today who are claiming to be prophets. And there are those who are preaching prosperity, when actually this world is going to be anything but prosperous in the days foreshadowing the coming of our Lord and Savior.